How's it going, Reef Keepers? Welcome back to Season 2 of We the Reefers. Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I'm not sure when, this is Monday that I'm recording this. I'm not quite sure if, I'll get it posted today, but hopefully I will. Hopefully a whole week won't go by and that comment will make sense. I had a heck of a weekend, and it is like game on for preparing to teach again. So this week, along with, public school, at least in Mississippi, which starts pretty early, being back in session. So I'm scampering around to drop the kid off, get the kid after school. I've also got my classes starting next week that I'm teaching. And I'm teaching an overload. And I've also got so much preparation to do for that, because even traditional education now, like quote unquote traditional, is not so traditional in the sense that it looks and feels the way that it did before the pandemic. Everything is like hybridized now. So I still believe that there's a lot of, inherent value in having, in looking somebody in their eye and teaching them and, sitting right there with them and working behind the same computer screen on, to build like an essay and whatnot. Writing kind of uniquely sets up for that. I think maybe even a little bit better than like mathematics, at least at this level that I teach at. But it looks different. There is so much preparation on the technology side that I must now do compared to when I first started teaching. Before I left it, went into the private sector, then came back out. It's kind of incredible. And AI is only complicating and changing that ever more by the day, it feels like. And I don't know if you guys were wondering, but I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag in, I'm just going to rant for a second at you. It's kind of a mixed bag in higher education right now with AI. I think this topic's going to be, at the forefront for quite some time as AI really, expands out and establishes itself. But it's a mixed bag university to university how they're utilizing it. So like some universities are like, no, we're going to fight AI tooth and nail, which I think is that's a lesson in futility right there. There's no way you're going to fight it, adequately. There's no way. And then some universities are like diving in like headlong. Like apparently there are some universities that are literally like having their own staff design AI personalities that overlay on top of like OpenAI's ChatGPT 4.0, right? Software. I think that's the latest. And so, like office hours are being reduced and stuff because students can just like tap an AI that like has a custom built personality by their instructor, which is wild to me and feels a little bit, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all of it, but how my university handles it is that basically right now my university's like, we can't deny that it's happening, but we don't really know because it's too early, which I think is a mature approach to say, we're not going to make some crazy call because we don't know. And so basically it's up to every individual instructor how they go about the implementation or fight against AI. And I'm not a fight against AI guy. As I've said to my students before, I'm not Will Smith from iRobot. I am not going to fight the march of AI. I don't get paid to do that. I try to teach, I guess, how to best utilize AI to increase your efficiency without sacrificing critical thought, without sacrificing what it is that will set you apart in the workplace in the future, or what sets humans apart from AI, right? Not that AI won't eventually be able to have some kind of critical thought structure for itself. Scary as that eventuality is, but I digress. Let's get back to reef keeping. So, sorry, I'm like way into this stuff right now. So, excuse me. All right. This week, I want to talk about what's going on with bulk reef supply. which to me is, I mean, that's a conundrum not on par with like the AI and education conundrum, but it is a conundrum nonetheless. I've been trying to figure out what their angle is for quite some time with the recent decisions they've been making. So if you pay attention, like, at all to what goes on in the industry, which I think many of you probably do. If you follow me, I think you're definitely interested in the industry and gear side of things disproportionately, I would say, because that's disproportionately what I talk about. That's disproportionately where my interests lie. And if you have followed BRS and like since the beginning of the summer and just kind of tracked their moves, and by BRS I mean Aperture, right? It's mind-blowing to me what has gone on. And if you tracked them further back before that, you know, since let's say the start, since Aperture started gobbling up everybody that they possibly could, all the, you know, kind of quote-unquote, it's perception, but higher-end American reefing companies, gear companies, and then exclusive distribution rights for everybody under the sun that they could possibly gobble up, you probably are in a similar position of awe and not wonder, but confusion as to what the heck they've been, what have they been doing? Like, what to what end have they reduced themselves to the point that they are currently at right now? And that point is basically in a nonstop state of fire sales and a nonstop state of cleaning house of, I mean, man, some days it feels like everything. If you just go, for instance, just go to the Bulk Reef Supply homepage and in the search function, type in skimmer, right? Look how many skimmers are completely and utterly either one out of stock, and like if you watch it over time, which I've had my eye on a few products that I've watched over time, things aren't coming back into stock, right? They're just not. Also, the discontinued or discontinued by BRS, which is more common, that tag being applied to products, which in some instances is misleading, right? In some instances, depending on whether you're looking at it, I think in the app or like in the mobile version of the website, probably depends on your browser and stuff, it'll just show up as a shortened discontinued, leading one to believe, oh, maybe this product line or company is gone, when that's not really true. It's just been discontinued on the BRS website, right? So this has been really interesting to me to watch some of their tactics, whether they are, you know, whether it's premeditated tactics or just like panic tactics as they like completely blow out their stock. And then also to what end they are, to what end they have dismantled the empire that they built. So we're going to get into it. And by the way, it should just be stated outright, I'm not some expert, right? I spent half a decade in the business world. It is the most cutthroat, awful, depressing experience that I've ever had in my life being part of the business world. I know how bad it can be. I luckily did not have to encounter some kind of venture capital type situation, but I certainly rubbed shoulders with people who were involved in venture capital and people who very much thought, even if they weren't, were sharks, like a lot of venture capital operations attract. So I do have some familiarity with, you know, I have familiarity enough with the type of people that I would imagine are driving this BRS in this direction. By the way, just BRS and Aperture interchangeable here, the way that I'm utilizing them, right? But I have enough familiarity to kind of project what I think might be happening, or at least a couple of different things that I think might be happening. And again, I could be wrong. I'm not a business major. I'm an English major. You know, I've just had some life experience that kind of informs this. And I try to critically think about the possibilities and kind of keep my ear to the ground. So let's start here. So let's start with an accounting of what Aperture has shed from representation under the BRS brand over the course of like the summer, which this list is tremendous. And it's, by the way, I'm going to, before I list all these, I'm just going to tell you, it's incomplete. In the days following the generation of this list, there have been more things that have, you know, gone out of stock across the board or whatnot, or things that were forgotten. But this list was compiled by a gentleman who goes by the handle Unreefer. And I actually, he has more knowledge of like, by line, by brand, by individual company, who's being represented where and what the pricing structures of all these and pricing changes are. It's just, I think, how his mind kind of works. He's a smart dude, and he keeps an eye on everything kind of across the board. So I went to him and I said, hey, you know, this is your interest niche, so to speak. And like, you know, really getting into the nitty gritty of tracking what's going on with these individual entities. Can you give me like an accounting of what you're seeing? And he sure as heck did. And I am deeply appreciative of it. Because there's no way that I could have kept track of this over the summer with how busy I was as it was going down, because my interests, my free time is sunk into other things. Whereas his interests and free time, some of it was sunk into this. So I totally appreciate him doing that. So here's the list of what is just gone from BRS. So I'm just going to list them by company. So GHL, Hydros, right? I mean, we all knew these. This was big news over the summer. We'll get into it. Aquamax. Thylene, you know, the roller mat company that creates that little like nano roller mat. I know they do some other stuff too, but they're gone. Hamali, Royal Exclusive, Lamont, Hayward, George Fisher, Spears, like for plumbing, right? Alita Air Pumps, Ice Cap, ESV, Reef Breeders, Fauna Marin. So there might be some straggler products, you know, outside of this, within this list, or within the names that are on this list, there might be some straggler products that have, whatever, not sold out, or, you know, but that's where we're at as far as, like, lines and companies that are just gone. They're just blown out the door of BRS. Think about how remarkable that is. How remarkable a shift that is from some of the, you know, when the transition was happening, when Aperture was taking over, some of the rhetoric that was coming out of Ryan Batchelor, who, by, I mean, think what you will of Ryan Batchelor. I know some are extremely critical of him. I know there's a huge camp of people in the middle that are like neutral, that are like, well, you know, I would have taken the money too. And I generally fall into that camp-ish. Like, I don't blame anybody for taking the money, right? However, there's more and more. There's more and more, I think. Let me back up. Ryan Batchelor is in a more defensible position, I think, than he has been right now. Because he actually, like, and it's on tape, you know, it's on video, he actually seemed to be earnestly trying to keep BRS on course when obviously, you know, back while he was still making videos for them, the powers that be above him, since he had sold out, were very clearly, if they hadn't informed him yet, which I think is probably the case, they just had not, they'd probably sweet-talked him and made him think how great everything was going to be. But their trajectory or their potential trajectory that they knew they would eventually take is so far afield of what the vision, the Ryan Batchelor vision for BRS was, and like what the core tenets of BRS were. It's a husk of what it was. And by the way, that's why he left. I mean, it's pretty clear that once all the promises and, you know, mushy talk and, you know, rah, 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 once the synergy was all evaporated, and he kind of began to see it for what it really was, he was like, I'm out. There's no way I'm hanging around here. You're corrupting what I tried to build and what you said you wanted when you bought this company from me. I mean, it's clear that a lot of lies were told along the way. And they have, in the name of profit, in the sole pursuit of profit and return to wealthy shareholders, they have completely compromised their mission, right? And that list that I just read off, that list is irrefutable evidence of that. Case in point, the abandonment of GHL and Hydros after Ryan and Randy both sat there on actual stream and talked at length. I've posted this stuff to my Instagram. Discussed at length how they wanted to show that the representation for GHL and Hydros was equivalent, just as strong as representation for Neptune, because that was the core mission of BRS. The core mission of BRS was to buy in bulk, have so they could lower prices, have great service, absolutely outstanding service, and basically, if the product was worthy, which, by the way, there's a lot of conjecture about whether some of the products they carry were worthy or not, but in their eyes, if the product was worthy, the line was worthy, the company was worthy, they were going to associate with that brand, company, line, what have you, and they were going to carry it, and they were going to offer it, and it would be a place where any user of any alignment, as long as it was a, you know, legitimate, fairly sizable entity, they could bank on going there and being serviced by this, you know, customer service oriented entity that was BRS. And all of that, all of it has been utterly and completely violated. The last vestiges of the foundation that once was the city on a hill, BRS, they've been gone for some time, but they're surely obliterated at this point. So let me just add to this. So on the chopping block now, on the chopping block to further destroy the promise that was once BRS are the following entities. So looks like Avast Marine. Only their auto feeder is really represented right now. Nothing consistently in stock. Adaptive Reef, which, man, I don't know much about Adaptive Reef beyond the fact that they seem to really put a lot of their eggs into the Aperture basket, into the BRS basket. And wow, you know, what a ride that must be. I don't know. Again, I have some theories. Like, this is these entities that I'm listing right now, it may or may not be the end for them representation wise at BRS, may or may not. But the stocking is what leads, is what informs the belief that these may be wavering, right? Pax Bellum, GA Murdoch, Endick, Slidelock. This one I'm gonna totally, you know, butcher. Coraline Zucht, maybe. Aquatic life, sea chem, reef octopus, neat aquatics. I mean, none of this stuff is consistently in stock, or just the vast majority of it has just not been restocked once blown out in fire sales. And it's kind of astounding, right? Kind of astounding. I mean, these are brands that hundreds, thousands of hobbyists use, love, rely on. Most of them very reef-keeping centric, which is going to become important here. Most of them extremely reef-keeping, hobby-centric entities. Let me give a special shout-out, by the way, to another one that looks like it could be kind of, you know, on the you know, hot seat here. Aquaforest. Doesn't look like they're doing a whole lot of Aquaforest restock either. And that's exclusive distribution after Aquaforest came into the United States reef-keeping scene, the American reef scene, and committed to another entity, a smaller gear house, and then absolutely stabbed that smaller entity in the back to go jump over and, you know, get in bed with BRS. And, oh man, the sweet, sweet justice that is that is behind that is palpable. Absolutely palpable. This is what happens. That right there should be a lesson to, I mean, really anybody like in the business world when it comes to venture capital, but certainly to the reef keeping industry. When venture capital comes calling and a bunch of wealthy shareholders are the only thing that matters anymore, the words coming from the mouth of the people that these wealthy, powerful individuals put in charge means nothing. It is all for naught. They will say and they will do anything, anything to return a profit to those wealthy, powerful individuals who have put them into these positions of power and decision making. The powers that be at the corporate level behind a venture capital operation, the people who are running this and making the calls every day, they are beholden not to the people, not to the customers. They're not beholden to the partnerships that are formed, to the other companies under them. They are not beholden to their own employees. They are beholden to the money and the power, and that's all. That's it. And the reef keeping hobby, small as it is, should sit up and take note and not allow something like this to happen again. I'm not saying no company owner should turn down outrageous money that'll allow them to go sit on a beach and live the dream we all want to live. Go buy that, you know, 5,000-gallon reef tank and, you know, and have it in a mansion in the mountains. Like, that's awesome. More power to you. The lesson to be learned here is, for the rest of the industry, if a power rises with venture capital money behind it, don't just go hitch your horse to that wagon because you think they're the big guy on the block. They're the most powerful. They got the most influencers. They got the best marketing team. They got the, go ask Aquaforest how they feel now. I'm sure they're not feeling very good about their decision. Oh yeah, it all looks beautiful, shiny, you know. Oh, they're saying all the right things. They're walking the walk, talking the talk. This is going to be great. Yeah, it sucks we had to stab this, you know, good entity in the back that's smaller than them, but, you know, whatever. We're going to make lots of money. The money will drown out the guilt. Well, here they sit. Here's some other names that you know, after discussion with a few different individuals, I could foresee also being, you know, being shown the door eventually, right? Or maybe like, maybe just a few things carried. Here's a few others. Vivid Creative Aquatics. Lifeguard Aquatics. I don't know if I said that already. Reef Nutrition. They're down to, you know, not that much coverage. V2O. Aquarium Foods. And Two Little Fishies. I think it kind of tells you something when, you know, the representation on BRS website of an entity like a Two Little Fishies gets, you know, bottomed out and you're not seeing restocks. You're not seeing, you know, you're not seeing them put anything additional up. I think that really tells you something about the space that the powers that be have pushed them right now in their history. Let's talk about something else pretty wild. How about Bulk Reef Supply not doing bulk anymore? How about Bulk Reef Supply on their own in-house brands, like their aquarium supplementation, like, you know, Kelkwasser, alkalinity, calcium, magnesium, etc. These core, one of the core things, one of the core pillars that BRS was built on, right? Ryan Batchelor selling this stuff out of his apartment, making the UPS guy, you know, go up these flights of stairs and, you know, getting this stuff. Like, that's part of their lineage, their history, their, you know, this is, you know, bread and butter what makes BRS BRS. They're moving out of bulk. Look at the bulk stocks. You can't buy bulk from them anymore. I mean, you can buy a whole bunch of individual little packages of it that are gonna cost you more money. You can do that. But more and more, it seems month over month, the amount of even in-house brand bulk reefing supplies, especially like supplementation and such, is just going away. They're just wiping those pages out. Oh yeah, we got these nice little packages for you. You're going to pay whatever, 20% more per package. And you can buy a whole lot of them. It reminds me of that scene from Meet the Parents. It's a great movie. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, but when he's in the convenience store and he's like, "Don't you guys have, like, you know, a bigger size of this drink mix that I'm looking for?" And the guy's like, "You can buy a whole bunch of Mums." Like, Mums is the brand. Like, that's what it reminds me of. That's BRS. BRS is that guy who doesn't care in the convenience store right now. "Well, you could buy a whole bunch of Mums." Like, it's just unbelievable. So, in the wake of all these moves, abandoning the other controller entities, not representing them anymore, and then slowly the dominoes fall after that to all the companies that are listed. Dominoes are still in the process of falling over for some entities. Dominoes are wobbling for other entities, right? But like, the long and the short of it is, it's very obvious that Bulk Reef Supply is slowly in stages. I guess it's not that slowly. I mean, it's all, if you know, they've spread it out as much as they can spread it out, and I think they've pretty effectively managed the, you know, day to day. It's not like they did all this in like one weekend. They spread this out and they just kind of let it organically happen, which is smart. That's, you know, for a big venture capital CEO who's been around the block, has spent 3 years at a lot of companies, she made the right call. I mean, she was like, I know how this goes. Like, we're gonna spread out the damage of this, right? And we're gonna sell all of it in fire sales and stages, and we're gonna look good to the hobby, like we, you know, we're giving them all this stuff for cheap, and we're gonna, you know, have the influencers still run their regular interference, keep up the hype, really start refocusing everything though into our core umbrella entities, into Neptune, Ecotech, AI, etc. And we're just gonna kind of let this play out until we hit a point of culmination where there's a big sign that happened recently. And this is where things began to coalesce for me. They have a partnership now, as of a week ago, with Spectrum Brands, Freshwater Extraordinaires, Spectrum Brands. So here we are. We're approaching the bridge, you see. So I believe that the first little, you know, I'm guessing this is kind of a trial deal. You know, I'm sure, you know, Aperture will come through on this, but I think this is, you know, stage 0.5 before we get to stage one, where we're like full on integration. And again, I'm going to emphasize, this is all speculative. Those companies I mentioned earlier, where it looks like their dominoes are in the process of falling or are wobbling, that's still technically speculation, right? I mean, there's a definite trend here. I believe that a lot of these dominoes are going to fall, but that's still speculative. It could just be that things are out of stock, and I'll give you an alternate what could be going on, but I don't think is going on. And then this, you know, this Spectrum Brands thing could just be, you know, them getting a business opportunity. You know, we can make this thing that we're going to partner on. It could just be, you know, to generate a little income. But regardless of all, you know, disclaimers of speculation, here's what's happening. Spectrum Brands and Aperture in partnership announced the all-new Hello Reef 40-gallon glowfish aquarium kit. Very interesting. Very interesting. Glowfish. Hello Fresh, anybody? Too bad that's already taken, right? I mean, we're going to run into a problem here shortly because we don't have the bulk in Bulk Reef Supply anymore, so now they're just Reef Supply. But boy, they're shedding reef-centric brands so fast, and they're diving in with, you know, big freshwater boys, so Spectrum Brands, so fast that I think we're going to have to drop the Reef. I think it's just going to be Supply. I think that, I mean, it's wild. It has been a wild ride to get to this point, and the situation continues to evolve. It's not like they're, you know, we're not at the end of this story yet, right? I mean, humorously, Telegram's had a counter on massive change at BRS for quite a while now. And I forget how many days are left on that. I think it's, you know, like a month or something. But just kind of like based on trends that he's seen and things that he's heard, he months ago generated this countdown. And it seems like a lot of things are coalescing to kind of be in line with that countdown. You might not hit it directly on. It might be, you know, a couple weeks before or a couple months after or whatever. But it really does seem like we're hitting a culmination point where Bulk Reef Supply is not Bulk anymore. It's not Reef anymore. It's becoming Supply and very well could become Hello Fresh Supply. I mean, it's like, I mean, we're kind of trending in that direction. So, I have a ton of thoughts. Here's my alternate reality of, you know, what could be going on, I guess. Like my alternate path is that, you know, it's like an open secret that, and nobody, I don't think anybody except internal people probably know the exact numbers. But it's pretty clear that there's some financial floundering going on. I don't know if Bertram has cut off the spigot entirely. But it really seems that, like, you know, the like overall sense of desperation that I get out of some of these fire sales and the you know, knee-jerk reaction to suddenly, you know, consolidate all the in-house brands, you know, and you start, you know, wooing Spectrum brands, you know, I mean, obviously that's been going on behind the scenes. Like, it could be that it all is just money-driven. They're struggling as the industry, reduces back to what it should be, because there was so much explosive growth with everybody sitting in their houses during COVID and scrolling social media all day and people seeing, you know, banging reef tanks and going, oh man, you know, I'm home all day. I just got some government cheese in the mail. Like, I'm gonna put this into a hobby, and this hobby's wicked, and I'm gonna do this. And now a combination of the burnout rate of the reef keeping hobby being so incredibly high, and those, like, you know, those terms in the hobbyists who are in the hobby for a short time, their term in the hobby, so to speak, has coming to an end, like month over month, I would guess. That coupled with also the insane rising cost and constant inflation of everything over the past, you know, 2-3 years, driving people out of this hobby because, like, oh man, you know, I'm lucky that I got the promotion bump that I got, because I was cinching the belt very tight for the hobby, very tight there for a couple months. And I can see the light is at the end of the tunnel for me now. But for a lot of people, it's not. Wages are not keeping pace with inflation. They're just not. Companies and corporations are making record profits. All day long, the heads of these companies and corporations will sit there and tell you, oh, you know, increased cost of labor and increased cost of shipping and post-COVID and blah, blah, blah. They're making record profits. It's like a mind, you know what, to watch, like, basically everybody I know living paycheck to paycheck and feeling absolutely constrained and drained of funds, while the economy is, by the standard of, like, you know, stocks and by the standard of corporate profit and how well the top wage earners are doing, is hot. I mean, they're doing great. And the rest of us are getting buried. So that's happening, and it's reducing the hobby back to what it always should have been, back to probably what it was before COVID, if not less than what it was before COVID when it's all said and done. I don't know if we're there yet. And I think that's probably a good thing, by the way. I'll have another episode this season that kind of delves into the whole notion that growing the hobby is good. I have a lot of thoughts on that. I'm still conflicted about parts of it, but I think in general, it's probably a net negative for serious hobbyists for the hobby to be growing in unserious ways, if that makes sense. So there's definitely reset buttons and scrambling being done on pretty much all fronts on the industry side right now, I think, because of the forces at play just in broader society and forces at play within the hobby itself. It's probably no secret to people who have followed this podcast, especially through season one, that I essentially think that large contingents, major swaths of the industry, especially the power players, have been living fat and happy and lacking in innovation and service. All of that generally declining since really, you know, Aperture began snapping up and creating the beast that it formerly was. And I think now the chickens have come home to roost for the hobby, for the industry side of the hobby. And it's been a long time coming. It really has. You know, we're starting to see little sparks, fits and starts of some innovation or talk of innovation returning in the wake of Aperture starting to crumble, which is interesting and hopeful for me. But it's going to take time. It's going to take time to reignite the engine that formerly was the innovation machine of the American reef keeping industry. I mean, there's going to be a lot of rebalancing, I think, as the last of these chickens takes their places in the roost. I think it's going to be, I don't know if it'll take, I mean, it seems like everything moves so fast now, maybe in like 2-3 years, maybe as far out as 5. I could see this industry looking, the alignments of this industry looking very different. Perhaps some of the lists of, you know, entities that exist in the industry looking a little bit different too. I think some people are, you know, companies are probably not gonna make it, or they're gonna have to hitch their horses to other wagons. It's gonna be something. It's going to be a massive, massive correction. And that correction, I think, is needed in light of so many in the industry flocking to Bulk Reef Supply for, if not, you know, outright business partnership, exclusive distribution, which I guess is still business partnership. In light of so many getting sucked into the gravity well that was Aperture, there's going to be a price to pay. And unfortunately, I think hobbyists are going to end up paying a lot of that price. I really do. A lot of pain often tends to disproportionately fall on the little people. And I think that if certain eventualities come to play out, there could be a lot of hurt on the part of the average hobbyist. Hopefully we avoid those eventualities or those, you know, alternate paths of dominoes as the main path of dominoes falls. But I don't know. Like, we should probably be asking the question, what does the reef keeping hobby look like if Aperture sells out, like to Spectrum or whoever, right? I mean, this Spectrum thing could be a trial thing to see, you know, how they like it. They're moving in together, you know. They're gonna move in together for a while and see if this relationship has legs. It could be that. It could be way more. Right? We're going to see. We're going to find out. But even if, like, a Chewy came and scooped Aperture, from the chatter that I hear and just from, like, the logic of the business situation, I think, I believe it's fair to say that there's a high likelihood that Aperture does not get taken whole. There's bits and pieces of the assemblage that is Aperture that are attractive to certain larger entities. And I don't think these larger entities that the, you know, powers that be within Aperture, you know, / Bertram, whatever, I don't think those larger entities they're attempting to woo are necessarily like, oh yeah, we want to take on all of Aperture, all your companies, and like, you know, we believe that this whole operation is profitable. We're going to run you as an arm of Spectrum Brands, and you're just going to keep doing your thing. You know, everything's going to just, you know, basically you just, it's like, and again, some of you may or may not understand this reference, but it's like, you know, Sony or Activision taking on Bungie, the former makers of Halo. And the promise is always like, you know, oh yeah, you know, you can just run yourself independently, and it never works out that way. And I don't think that it seems like anybody who's coming calling is under the illusion that it would work out that way. It seems to me like in all likelihood, the way this would break down would be certain pieces and parts of the Aperture umbrella would go to a larger entity, and I don't know what, like, you know, the powers that be do with the entities that are not necessarily, you know, wanted by these bigger, wealthier entities. Like, let's say that I think, and again, I don't know the internal numbers, I would say Ecotech Marine has to be the most powerful entity, you know, within, besides Bulk Reef Supply, in the Aperture umbrella, right? So, like, let's say they want BRS for, like, the warehouse, the relationships, the knowledge base of the, you know, leaders at that company, the, you know, the ethos behind, you know, service portions of what's done, product tracking, whatever, logistics, not knowledge. Let's say they want BRS. Let's say they want Ecotech Marine, because Ecotech Marine makes money, right? What happens then? What happens to, like, you know, AI? What happens to Neptune? You know, that worries me. That worries me a lot. And by the way, this is just a for instance. This is like a likelihood, I think, because I know Ecotech Marine must make money hand over fist. They're so popular. The influencers push them so hard. I know they have to make money. I know I've fallen into just shoveling money into their furnace. The Ecotech Marine must make money. But Neptune, after they got completely hollowed out, ripped out of their, you know, native land out in California where they built their brand, shifted along with production and everything over into Pennsylvania, I'm sure that they lost valuable people in that transition. No way everybody came. You know, there's a lot of people who had to look at that like, I'm leaving California for Pennsylvania. Like, no, not bagging on Pennsylvania. I actually love PA. I'm not a big Cali guy. I don't really get the appeal. But I feel like there has to be this. Like, Neptune has to be kind of in a bad position right now. And that's not, I mean, that's got to be showing in the numbers. I mean, look how long stuff has just been, like, out of stock for them. You have to, like, reach out to their support team just to do something that you should be able to do just by adding it to a cart and buying it with your credit card. You have to, like, actually reach out to support and specifically request a custom-made invoice if they have it in stock. They got to go check if it's in stock. The fact that that's still going on should tell you something about how difficult this transition has been for Neptune Systems as an entity. It's bad. It's bad, bad. And I don't know really what AI is doing. I don't know if AI is technically like a line of Ecotech. This is just me being ignorant about what the setup is there. I think that they might be a line of Ecotech. I would anticipate, if I were to look at the numbers, not seeing as big profit numbers out of AI. But if there's like a whole AI team, they're just like, you know, like owned by, I think that, I'm pretty sure Ecotech, this could be wrong, I'm pretty sure Ecotech bought AI and then Aperture bought Ecotech. I think that's how it worked out. So, like, I don't know. I don't really know what happens to AI. I actually really like AI's pumps and stuff. I've got AI products, so that would suck for me. I've got tons of Neptune. My whole main system is just fully kitted out in thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in Neptune Systems product that I could never, I could replace it piecemeal if I needed to as things fail, but I do not have the capital, even with my promotion. There's no way that I could just like start from scratch with a controller system of the same magnitude and complexity that I have now. So like, there's another interesting thing that could happen. What if, like, I don't know, what if some company wants, like, they're like, yeah, we see like how Ecotech AI and Neptune work together. Like, we want that to be like a little reef wing of our aquarium operation. But like, we have the distribution and everything. We have in-house customer service. We don't really need BRS to remain BRS as an entity anymore. Like, what happens if that happens? I suppose it could, right? It's possible. And if that were to happen, you know, I guess we as a hobby retain some of our beloved brands. You know, I mean, it's totally possible that production of those brands could be outsourced at that point. You know, I mean, how a company the size of Aperture thinks versus how a company the size of, you know, like the Chewies or Spectrums or whatever the world think is often vastly different when it comes to like the manufacturing, you know, from a manufacturing standpoint. It's often a very logical move for those giant entities that are running like, you know, these massive lines to be like, oh yeah, like, definitely, we're just going to have this built in China. You know what I mean? It's like, I know a lot of the parts of these things are built in China and shipped here, but they are at least assembled in America with like the quality control of a plant in Pennsylvania, which I have to believe is still better than, you know, quality control of like, you know, Jibao, right? Or Jekot, whatever they brand themselves as, wherever you're at. There's a reason why those products are so dang cheap. But if, you know, I could go on about eventualities for this forever. By the way, I'm not like bagging Jibao or Jakad out of nowhere. Like, I have plenty of Jibao and Jakad, gear that works fine. It's just that the failure rate for me has been higher. It's been about a 20% failure rate on products from them. And that's got to be down to quality control. So like, if that eventuality did play out, I guess I would worry about that in, you know, as a place where they could go in the future. And yeah, the dissolution of BRS would be something. But then again, maybe like I struggled to, I guess, understand like who is still, I guess there must be people who are still like, oh yeah, like everything that I do, I get from BRS. That's my one go-to. You know, I'm preferred reef for everything, perks, points, you know, Mr. Chili dolls. I would never buy one of those. you know, there's got to be people who are just like, that's where I get everything. I do my dosing through them. You know, I get all my customer service runs through them. It was this one stop, and you could pick whatever you wanted. You could have a GHL controller with AI lights, with Ecotech Marine Vortech pumps or wave makers, you know, all kinds of stuff. Any combination of things that you wanted, you had all this, you know, grand choice, and all of it had a single point of customer service that was reliably pretty good, you know, for a long time. And you could get your whole, you know, I mean, solid, very cost-effective, you know, BRS Pharma to dose what you needed to your tank. It was great. It was for a reef keeper who did not want to delve into the complexities of the industry or delve into the complexities of what they could potentially be doing with gear and really figure it out. You just, I mean, they were everything, you know, just go look at their list of the top 10 best-selling lights. Oh, right there. You know, AI Prime 16 HD, that's for me. You get your tank from them, all of it. One point of contact. That's what made BRS a city on a hill once upon a time. And they no longer embody like any of that, really, at this point. And I mean, that shedding of what they were to the point they're at now, this husk of what was once a reef-centric, you know, distribution powerhouse, that has occurred over the course of one summer. So, I mean, there's conceivably people who are, you know, totally BRS reliant, casual reef keepers who are totally BRS reliant, who are going there now and just finding out, like, oh my God, like, This closet is bare. There's an orange shirt, a teal shirt, and a blue and white shirt in here. And that's it. Like, I mean, that's that. I mean, like, they have literally emptied the closet of so much else. I mean, it's down to the, it's gonna be down to the bone shortly if they continue this trajectory. I guess I started out this whole elongated rant by talking about the alternative, and I guess the alternative is, in them hollowing out everything, is that they just can't pay the notes. They can't carry the note for buying massive pallets of skimmers from Reef Octopus, or, you know, buying, you know, massive pallets of this or that. They can't buy in bulk anymore because their income, their revenue, just by the nature of what's happening to the industry at large, has been, you know, just eaten away. And they're like, we need this money to pay our people. We need this money to keep the lights on. And so we already have these in-house brands that we, you know, that we must sell. You know, these core Aperture umbrella brands, and they cover most bases. So we are going to just kind of let all of the representation of all these other companies just die out because we have to. That's a possibility that's happening. And by the way, it could be a combination. It could be a combination of leadership shoving the whole entity toward freshwater as fast as they can, hoping that bits and pieces of it get scooped up and there's some ROI for those investors. And also, that they simply can't carry the notes. They just can't do it anymore. And I'll tell you, that's a little bit of my own business experience, like, that informs that, because when I worked in the private sector, I represented multiple manufacturers, and we had a couple of entities that consistently got to that point where they were like, to keep the lights on and keep our core lines moving for our very core products and pay people, we literally cannot source parts that we need to build all of our smaller lines. So they would just shut down production of all the, and again, Bulk Reef Supply is not producing any of this, but like, it's kind of the equivalent. Like, they can't buy in these pieces of gear. If this is the case, they probably can't buy in all these pieces of gear. So they're just reducing everything down to their core umbrella. It could be happening. Regardless what's happening, whether they're, you know, very much, whether they have enough cash and they're just driving to get ROI for the wealthy and powerful right now, and they're just, it's all going to fragment, and leadership knows it, or whether they just can't carry notes because the hobby is reducing so quickly. And by the way, they've been exposed for what they are to reef keepers who pay attention and care about that, which is a lot of us. So, like, I mean, I know that I personally forcibly direct dollars away from BRS. Like, I'll pay a couple dollars more somewhere else to send money elsewhere because I believe that what they've done to the hobby, what Aperture has done to the hobby, has been so detrimental and will, and I believe we have not seen the full extent of that detriment yet. I believe pain is still yet to be felt, that will be felt in, you know, the next year, 2-3 years. Like, I think we're gonna see a massive realignment, especially because the hobby is condensing itself so much right now as we shed casual people or people who are just getting priced out. It's gonna be something. It's gonna be really interesting to behold. So I think I'm about tapped out talking about that, and I'm at about an hour, which is actually kind of good. I the way that I have to do these now, because I have a real mic system, I have to record this stuff on my computer with my, you know, quote unquote fancy microphone. It's like a cheap, nice microphone. And then I have to film the tank with my HD camera on my phone. And then I have to marry the video and the audio. And it is very, the every like 5 minutes that you add to a 4K video makes that process of, you know, like downloading and marrying all these gigs of content together so much lengthier and more difficult. Like, you need way more space, you know, in your storage on your machines to be able to do it. The software that I use to marry it is like taxes my machines way harder. It crashed on me once last time. So I'm going to try in the future, I think, to shoot for like an hour, you know, an hour 10, somewhere in there. I think it's more digestible probably, because I talk a lot. Like, I can tell in my, I have a couple of longer classes that I teach that are like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that, versus my 45 minute classes that I teach. There's two formats. The 45 minute classes get all that they can take in 45 minutes of me when I'm really rolling. And I can tell that those hour and 20 people, when I get to like an hour 10, they're like, oh my God, like, I just have the ability to talk a lot. So I think that this is probably better to do, and it'll probably allow me to produce more content, because it will become more fluid. It won't be such a big ordeal to do like a 90-minute podcast every time. But by the way, 90-minute podcasts are still going to happen because I'm me. And if I'm not done talking, I'm just going to keep talking. But I think I've meandered around and discussed what all like speculation and what all eventualities and what all, you know, it's all a bunch of speculation is what it is. Ultimately, we don't know what's going to happen here, but we know where we've been. We know the story to now. And it does seem like we're reaching a point where the final chips are falling into place, so to speak, with Aperture and the reef keeping hobby. And I don't see Bulk Reef Supply as Bulk Reef Supply anymore. I don't see it as Reef Supply either. It just like is reducing itself to Supply. That's basically what the company name and what their capability and what their purpose seems to be slowly but steadily being reduced to. And to what end has yet to be seen or yet to be revealed, but we're going to know soon enough for sure. So I would love to hear all of your thoughts on this. It's going to be posted to YouTube, of course, along with all the other places it's normally posted. You can always DM me on Instagram. But I would love to think what you I would love to hear what you think may eventually happen from all this. Like, where is this all going to end up? I think there's a few different ways it could go. I've talked about my bit now, and now I want to see, you know, I mean, maybe there's things people are seeing that I'm not seeing. I would love to, you know, hear more about all of it. But I think it's probably fair to say that, you know, if you look out into this hobby a year from now, 2 years from now, do you see a hobby where like BRS feels like what it used to feel like ever again? I don't really see it, right? I don't think it's possible at this point. So it is what it is. But all right, folks, I hope that everybody has a wonderful week. I will be at Reefstock. I will be cruising around there, you know, next weekend, this coming weekend, I guess. And I will certainly have a like Reefstock in review kind of podcast episode where I talk about, you know, what all I saw and experienced at Reefstock. I'm really excited for that, actually, because I just don't do a lot of that kind of thing. But I mean, they're 4 hours from me. So heck yeah, I'm going. I'm really excited for it. I think it'll be a great show. And yeah, keep on reefing on, folks. Have a good one.